As you can see, the top of the lesson, what we're talking about tonight, I use three words that all fall in the same category. The idea of respectful, courteous, or considerate. Then I have some definitions down below that to further solidify our understanding of what we're talking about. By the word respect, I mean the proper regard for our people's human rights, for the position that people hold. We'll talk about that through our study, whether it's a position of employer or employee and other positions in life, for age, for culture. People's culture are different. Cultures are different. And with that go certain habits and practices that are not sinful in themselves, but simply to respect the fact that people are different culturally. And then polite, showing respectful and considerate, not only attitude, but in speech and in our behavior. We'll have occasion to look at that in our study. And then the word courteous. Again, polite or respectful in conduct and speech. Now, we have several categories on your lesson, as you can see. Age, parental, authority, family, neighbor, brothers and sisters in Christ. But all of these can be grouped under that major category that you have on your lesson. This is a fundamental concept. It's a principle. You will not find that statement in the Bible, but you're going to find exhortation after exhortation that is based upon it. That is, that duties are based on relationships. It's a very important concept, and I hope that you'll see some more of that in our study tonight. That duties are not necessarily based on the wisdom or the goodness or liking somebody, but rather on the relationships that you may sustain to someone. So let's start out here with the one on age. Look at Job chapter 32, verse 6 and 7. Job 32. If you were to date the book of Job, about where would you put it when it was written? Probably in the patriarchal dispensation, likely before the law of Moses. There are indications of that. So I mentioned that to point out that this is a book of antiquity. And here in chapter 32, you see what we have here on the lesson. That respective age is nothing new. It's not unique to the New Testament. It's not even unique to the Old Testament. It's been understood by people of society for generations and generations past, I guess, since the beginning of time. Here in Job 32, verse 6, Elihu, he's the younger man of the four men that form the thread of this book. You have Job and his three friends, all older men. And they have dialogues all through the book. Over on the sidelines is this younger man. Now, I don't know what younger is here. It may be 30s. I don't know. Maybe 40s. I don't know what he is. But he's younger than the other guys. And it says, Elihu, the son of Barakel the Buzite, spoke out and said, I'm young in years, and you are old. Therefore, I was shy and afraid to tell you what I think. Let me stop with you just a moment. In our society, is lack of age and years any impediment to people speaking boldly their views? No. And sometimes in imposing them on others, though they don't have years of experience, wisdom, but they're just as confident, they know as much, say at 25 or 30, as those who are 55 or 65. And so Elihu recognizes that as a general rule, we'll see more about that in just a second, There should be respect for the years that people have had to experience things and learn from those experiences, as well as simply their dedication to learning about different facets of life. And so he respects that. He said, I thought age should speak and increased years should teach wisdom. That's the general rule. And that's a good idea. However, he said, but it is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. Now, what Elihu is going to point out, verse 9, the abundant in years may not be wise, nor may elders understand justice. So it's not across the board that every time a fellow has gray hair, that what he says is wise, that what he says should be accepted. That's not the case. It should be, but some fail to gain that wisdom through the years. These are four good men, but they have a flawed view about suffering and sin. And Elihu's been listening to them and the things that they said. So finally, verse 10, after he's listened patiently, I don't know how long this dialogue took between these four men, but he's listened patiently, a good practice. But now he says, so I say, listen to me, and I will tell you what I think. Is that an humble approach? It is, isn't it? I've listened to what you said. I've weighed what you said. But it hasn't met the standard of what I understand to be wise and good. So I feel now I have the right and responsibility to speak. And that's the way it should be. Even if all the elders say something, you listen carefully. Maybe you disagree. You have the right and responsibility, if need be, if it's an important matter, to speak. And so there is, however, this respect for age that was shown. Now, I've got two verses on here. Lamentations 5:12, I'm not going to read, and Isaiah chapter 3, verse 5. Now, we're going to lump those together to make one point. Lamentations, as you know, is a book of lament about Jerusalem when it was destroyed, going to be and finally destroyed because of their failure to follow God's will. And these enemies that came in, you'll see here in Lamentations 5:12, the elders were not respected. There was no respect for age when these people came in, to treat them any differently than anybody else. And then in Isaiah 3:5, this passage talks about, at the time that Isaiah is talking about, there was a lack of respect for age, and that it was a sign of moral depravity in a society. And here's what I'm thinking about as I look at those verses. We're not Jerusalem. We're not Judah. But when you look at our society, if the lack of respect for elders in Jerusalem and Judea was a sign of the moral depravity of their society, what does that say about the United States of America? Is there a general respect for age in the United States of America or not? And if not, it's a sad reflection on our society. It's something we should understand. Whether you agree or disagree with people who are older, the very fact that they're older is something that ought to be honored, respected. They ought to be treated different and talked to differently. We'll see some more about that in the verses we're going to look at. Well, we're going to read just a moment Leviticus 19:32. Well, let's go ahead and turn there, Leviticus 19:32. Let's do that. Yes. Where's the question? Yes, sir, Kyle.
Your statement about does our culture respect the elderly, does that summarize kind of how you were talking about
that? I would just observing that in our society, I don't know that there is a general respect in the way people treat and talk to those who are older than they are.
Is that based off of, I guess, what would be the basis for that?
Observation.
Okay.
It's a purely personal judgment.
Okay.
You can disagree with it if you want. Anybody else want to comment about that? Okay. Leviticus 19:32. I asked the question, what was one way respect for age was demonstrated in Israel according to this verse? What was it? What? Rised up before those who were older, the gray-headed. That's right. And so, you'll notice it says, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. Is that two things or one? That's one. The word and is often explanatory. Namely, honor the aged. That's how, in their culture, you honor the aged. You rise up before the gray-headed. And the underlying authority to tell people in Jerusalem, or I say Jerusalem, in Israel, that they ought to practice that, according to this verse, the underlying force of that is what? What does it say in the verse?
Reverence for God.
Reverence for God. That's it. He said, you shall revere your God. That's not something separate. Revering God, reverence for God, as Neil said, is the foundational premise that you will practice this toward aged people. God expected that in Israel. And it's the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, or Jehovah, your God. So this is more than cultural, the idea of respect for age. Now, I've told some of the young people here tonight that I was going to ask this, and so I'm going to ask for participation. I want you to raise your hands, young people, so you're not all speaking at the same time. I've asked them to think of ways, specifically, that you can show respect. Now, you may not rise up when your mom and daddy enters the room or somebody older. Maybe that was a cultural way of showing respect. But what are ways, specific ways, young people, that you can show respect for older people today? Let's see a hand. Okay, Damien?
Saying yes, sir, and no, sir.
That's an excellent one. Did y'all hear him?
No. Saying yes, sir, and no, sir.
Saying yes, sir, and no, sir. And those of you who have been with me and studying the family classes may remember that I told you I was not very high on that with my children. But I had a wife that was wiser than I was, and she said we ought to teach our children that. And she was right. And that's a way to show respect. Yes, sir, and no, sir. Are you saying they sin if they don't? I'm not saying that. I'm saying there is a respect for age that ought to be shown some way. That's in this text, is it not? And in different societies, it may reflect itself in different ways. Some other young person have a suggestion. Yes, sir?
Not being inappropriate.
Okay, not being inappropriate. Can you talk about what you mean by not being inappropriate? What would be inappropriate?
Jokes, language.
Okay, that's good. The kind of jokes you tell, the language you use, does it fit the age group that you're in? And that's a good observation. And so to think about that, out of respect for age. Somebody else? Okay, Raylan?
Like taking care of your parents, your grandparents.
Very good. To take care of your parents or grandparents. Of course, right now, your parents aren't old enough to need taken care of, I guess. But there are things you can do for them, isn't there? And maybe if they live another 40 years, you'll be able to clip their toenails or something. Doesn't that sound great? She didn't comment. Okay. Anyway, doing something for your parents or your grandparents, showing respect for age. What happens, oftentimes young people just forget their grandparents, don't they? Don't even want to see them. I mean, they don't watch the shows I watch. They don't tell the jokes I tell. They don't, and they're decrepit. But respect for them. Another hand. Yeah. What did he say?
Be quiet.
Be quiet. All right, that's a good one. Being quiet instead of interrupting them. That's a good point. Very good. Respecting when they're speaking and holding your voice. That's excellent. These are some ways you can show in your society today. Respect for age. All right, let's turn the coin over. Maybe we've got some others who want to comment on this. What are ways you can show disrespect? Okay, Raylan? With what?
Mean or ugly words.
Okay, speaking to them with mean or other words, that's right. Disparaging language. Cruel things that you might say. It should a person say that's 15 or 20, speak differently to a fellow 20-year-old, or let me rephrase that, speak differently to a 50-year-old than a fellow 20-year-old? Certainly. There's a difference. And we're going to see a verse about that in just a moment. White, I think I saw your hand up.
Not doing what you're told when you're told.
Okay, that's an excellent point. That's a way to show disrespect. You're going to see a verse along that line right here in just a moment. And that's an excellent point. Failing to do what you're told is showing disrespect. And yes, Lily? Not paying what? That's excellent. I want to talk about that in a minute. I'm glad you brought that up. Sometimes when parents are talking to their children or older people are talking to younger people, maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's just an older person or friend. And what do young people do sometimes? When are you going to get through? You know, rolling their eyes, no paying any attention. Hurry up. Okay, I'm listening. And that's a way of showing disrespect. You don't have to end up agreeing. I've already said that. But there's a respect for age. Yes, Chad?
Having an attitude.
Having the right attitude. Those are good. Let's look at some of these verses here. let's drop down to the Exodus verses. You see Exodus 20 and 12. You don't have to turn over there. You know that one. Honor your father and mother. What's a synonym for honor?
Obey.
Respect. Okay, and it includes obedience. But respect and honor includes obedience. It also includes provision, although we're not talking about that tonight. That is a way to show honor for your parents, according to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 15. But let's look at some of these verses that I have on the sheet. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 21. Verse 15. I don't know what age is in mind here. How old are you, Chad?
14.
14. How old are you, Noah?
17.
17. Would y'all like to be put to death in next week?
I don't know.
Have to think about it. Well, that's interesting. Okay. Chad had his mind made up. He shook his head no. Look at this verse. He says here in verse 15, he who strikes his father or his mother, what's going to happen to him?
Jail.
Jail? Read the verse. Jail would be nice. Should be put to death. It's a capital offense. Did they ever do it? I don't know. Let me ask you a question. As parents, we have a section down here where we talk about parents' responsibility. When should parents start teaching their children that they don't have a right when they don't like something to strike their parents? when they're born, when they're very young. You see parents lying, their little babies strike back, slap their parents and all that kind of stuff and laugh about it. Ha ha, isn't it funny? Is that really funny? Is that really good? What if you lived under this law? And so your 2-year-old, you laugh at them. Your 5-year-old, you laugh at them. Your 15-year-old, you bring him to the elder of the city to be put to death. Whoa. See, I'd like to go back to that age 2 and 5 and do things a little different. So you can see respect is something that's a responsibility of parents. This is put here. And parents would read it. And it would say something about their responsibility in training their children. Whether the children read it, that when the law was written, it was read to everybody. When it was read, it read to everybody, young and old. And it was to be read to everybody. So they wanted the children to hear it too, young people. So that's verse 15. All right, look at verse 17. Is this talking about cussing in verse 17? What's the difference in cussing and cursing? This verse talking about cursing. What's the difference? What?
Wishing ill will.
Can you curse without cussing? Yes. Cussing, we use that to talk about profanity. Language, bad words we ought not use. But it may just be bad habits. It's not necessarily you're wishing somebody ill. Cursing, you can use good words. But they're an expression of hatred or the desire for you to pay for what you did to me and that kind of thing. I have a couple examples here on my notes. Can you think of any way? This verse says, he who curses his father and mother shall surely be put to death. Can you think of a couple things that children might say to their parents that might fall into that category?
I hate you.
I hate you.
I wish you were dead.
Children ever say that to their parents? They do. Yes, Craig?
I don't know if this is a severe, but I think it's disrespectful and kind of a way of cursing God. You talk about his testimonies or things that he has said that we're supposed to do and we disagree with. Sometimes children probably, say to their parents or, they use derogatory words about their parents because they don't like a decision or
okay. And you're saying that's showing what? Disrespect for God? Is that what you're, yes, that's exactly true. And all through here, that's the idea that their respect for the God of the covenant. Where's the covenant he made with the nation? Here. What chapter? Chapter 140? Chapter 20. And we're in chapter 21. This is all connected with this covenant that Craig has pointed out. The God who delivered you from Egypt is the one that's giving you these laws. Is he just some kind of old codger that wants to make things tough for people? Or is he giving laws that he knows is good for people, good for society, because he loves people? You had a comment, Don? Okay. What about that, class? So you're disciplining your child or something? Is that what you're talking about? And the children say, you're just mean. Is that okay?
Slander.
A slander is what that is. Is that okay to slander your parents? Let me ask you, who's the most notable slanderer you can think of? Who, Cole? That is right. That is exactly right. That's what the word devil means. Good answer. He's a slanderer. He slandered God in the Garden of Eden. Oh, God's trying to keep something good from you. You're not going to die when you eat this tree. He's a slanderer. And we shouldn't tolerate it from our children. And it's our responsibility as parents to teach this respect. Okay. Look at Proverbs 23. Some of the young people have already commented on this, but here it is right here in the text. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. Thought your comments, young folks, were excellent. Verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you. Does that mean when they're talking, just sit there and just listen? Is that what that means? When you read the proverb, what kind of literature is it? What poetic features being employed throughout the proverb?
Parallelism.
And so oftentimes one line helps to interpret or enlarge upon the other. So let's keep reading. So here's antithetic parallelism. That is, you have one thing stated and the opposite in the next line. And do not despise your mother when she is old. So you can listen with your ears and hear the sound and the words, but not be listening. What we were talking about a while ago. Hurry up and get through. I don't like what you're saying. You don't know what you're talking about. I'll sit here and listen. I'll take it. But they're not listening. They ought to at least consider what the parents are saying. The next verse, interesting, kind of goes hand in hand with it. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. And so here's a respect, and there were some comments about this very thing, about how you listen from the young people. I thought that was excellent. Look at Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17. How do you mock someone? It says the eye that mocks a father. Well, how do you, if you want to mock somebody, what do you do? What, Noah?
Scoff.
What? Ridicule. Ridicule them. You may imitate them and make fun of them. You know, make faces. Look what the text says. The text says, the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother. What's scorn mean?
King James says despise.
Okay. The King James in this particular verse, somebody said a while ago, how do you fail to respect your parents? They said, failure to obey them. This verse talks about that very thing. The King James and American Standard translate that way. Despises to obey. The word scoff is the idea of having contempt for someone, rejecting what they say because you have no respect for them. And that's scorning. We didn't know what these words mean. We could be guilty of violating this passage if we don't know what these words mean. So mocking a father and scorning a mother. So it's all right to scorn the father and mock the mother. Is that what it is? Remember, it's parallelism, isn't it? See? Your parents, in other words. The idea is treat your parents with respect. You may not understand why they're telling you what they're telling you, but they're still your parents. And that duty that you have to this man and this woman you call mom and dad, is it based upon the fact that you understand what they're saying is good for you? Is it?
No.
No, it isn't. What's it based on?
Them being your parents.
Relationship. That's why we said all this falls under this. Duties are based on relationship. They're your parents. They're your father, your mother. And all the way through, God gives us duties based on relationships. And that's what you have here. And he said, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, the young eagles will eat it. Pretty graphic, isn't it? By the proverb writers, show God displeasure with this kind of an attitude. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read this verse, and then I'm going to ask you to comment, okay? We had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time in the best way that was possible. But he disciplines us for our good. Is that what the verse says? As it seemed good. What does that allow? What?
Mistakes.
They might have made a mistake. They did the best they could. That's what seemed right to them. Every honest, godly parent in this audience will tell you, if they've raised children, I made mistakes. I failed to discipline when I should. I was too hard in my discipline. Or something else. We make mistakes. Is the children's responsibility to respect discipline based on the fact your parents are always going to make the right decision, always going to do the right thing? No. If not, what's it based on? Relationship. That's what it's based on. And so these are very valuable passages to help us understand our role if we respect God. All right. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're talking about authority here. I'm not going to read Malachi 1:6. There he talks about a master should be respected because of the relationship that he has to the servant. But I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 with me just a moment. Timothy is a young man. And he's a preacher here in the church at Ephesus. And he writes about this matter of respect. Let those who are under the yoke of slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor. Go to the next verse. Let those who have believers as their masters not be disrespectful to them because they are brethren. But they're brethren. I don't have to respect them now, do I? Why do you still have to respect them?
All the more.
All the more. Why? You got two relationships. One brethren. What's the other? Master-servant. Duties are based on relationship. Well, you're my brother. I don't have to. No. You're still my master, my boss, my employer. See? Now look at the part I didn't read in verse 1. What is one reason for treating those who have authority over you at the job with respect? You go there. People say, what are you? Oh, I'm a Christian. I go to church. Okay? They're going to watch how you talk to the employer, to your boss, how you treat them. Look at what's that last part of that verse? So that the name of God and our doctrine may not be spoken against. What is your religion doing for you? Look at the way you treat your boss. Look what you do behind his back. Yeah, that's some religion you've got. And so Titus talks about the same thing. 1 Peter 2:18 talks even about a cruel master, but for sake of time, I'm going to skip those. So what I just want you to see, that this respect is not based on being treated well. It's not based on loving your boss and say, boy, he's just a good friend of mine. We go fishing together. You say, I'm glad to get away from him. That's okay, but he's still your boss. And there's a respect that's due. And it works the other way around. Masters are told to respect their servants. Are the people that work for them. Works both ways. All right, look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. When we talk about a healthy relationship in the marriage relationship, husband and wife, we talk about love. Love is vital. The right kind of love, not kiss, hug love, but caring love. Vital to a relationship, but there's another factor And it's somewhat included in this idea of caring love. But I want you to note it in these verses. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to get it right here in a minute. All right, look at verse 2. The woman is to have what attitude toward her husband? Chaste and what? Respectful behavior. Because he's a good guy, right? What kind of guy is this woman married to? Verse 1. He goes to church with her all the time, doesn't he? No. So don't send that preacher out here. I don't like your religion. I'm not going to church with you. Don't give me a Bible. Does she have to respect him? Why? Relationship. Duties are based on relationship. But turn it around in verse 7. Look at verse 7. Your husband likewise live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel since she is a woman. And grant her what? Honor. What's a synonym? Respect. As a fellow heir of the grace of life. Now God may have ordered the family so that you're the leader. But you know what? She's made in the image of God just like you are. And she's just as important to God as you are, mister. And you need to respect her. You want a healthy relationship in the family? This is what we're studying, this character trait of respecting people for what they are. Respecting the relationships we sustain to others in life. And let that affect not only our attitude, but the way we speak and the way we treat people. This is a basic, good character trait. That's what our whole study is about. Go down to the suggested discussion points for parents. So one of the young people is already ahead of me on number one. Should children be expected to show practical actions of respect for older people, including, somebody mentioned this earlier, not interrupting? Here's another one somebody mentioned, saying yes, no, yes, and no, ma'am, or yes and no, sir. Responding when spoken to. How can you show disrespect? Somebody talk to you, you don't answer. Is that respectful? You know, don't say a word, just don't answer. Look again. How may this affect them in life ahead of them? Their relationship to employers. If you let them get away with that in the family, what about when they go to work somewhere? What about their interaction with members of the church who are older? What about being around parents and grandparents and caring for them when they get a little bit ornery? I've heard of old people getting a little ornery. I'm glad I'm not that way. And difficult with age. And so if you're treatment of people is based on they always make you happy. You're not going to treat people with respect. Whose job is to teach them that? The preacher? Parents. Parents' job. That's right. Look at question number 2. Do your children see? Do they observe? Do they experience? Mutual respect, courtesy, and considerateness between mom and dad. How do they see mom and dad talk to and about one another? What do they see? You know, even if your parents show complete disrespect for one another and speak about one another in despicable ways, does that make it okay for you to follow in their footsteps?
No.
Absolutely not. What if they murder one another? Is that all right for you to murder somebody? No, it's shameful the way some people who claim to be Christians talk to one another in their homes. It's ungodly. But that gives no excuse for anyone else to follow in their footsteps. But what do your children see in your home? Is there respect and courtesy and considerateness? Thinking about how my conduct impacts someone? I have here on the lesson, go back up. Brothers and sisters in Christ. I have 1 Corinthians 14:20 and 1 Corinthians 13:5. 1 Corinthians 13:5 said, love does not act unbecomingly. One verse says rudely. What is rude behavior? What?
Unkind.
Unkind? All right. Good answer.
In their face.
Huh?
You get in their face.
Get in their face. In the context, what was the rude behavior? Chapter 12 through 14. In what way? That's right. Now they have the gift of tongues. Here's an assembly. Nobody knows what you're talking about, but I got this gift. And I'm going to speak in Zulu. What are you saying? I don't know. Well, you don't have to know. I got the gift and I want to show it. I don't care how you think about it. It impacts you. Love does not act unbecoming or rudely. If the other fellow's not edified, sit down and shut up. So there's a love says, I think about how my conduct affects other people. Does it build them up or tear them down? 1 Corinthians 14:20 talks about children. What characteristic of children is discussed there? Look at 1 Corinthians 14:20. Do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be babe, but in your thinking be mature. In the context, what's the mature way of thinking? I'm going to reserve my gift until it'll benefit somebody. A child, I got some new marbles. I got them for Christmas. Watch me play. Can I play? No, you can't play. That's childish. Maturity respects others and thinks about, considers others, and how my conduct's going to impact others. Sometimes we act immaturely. Look on the lesson, because our time is running out. Matthew 7:12. Look at this fundamental law. And everything, therefore, treat people in the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Always been a law. God's always expected it. Treat other people like you want to be treated. It's interesting how the English Standard Version and the International Standard Version and this other version I have translate Titus 3:2. Show perfect courtesy to all people. And by the way, that was on the island of Crete. They were a bunch of no goods. Still, he says, show perfect courtesy. Isn't that interesting? And Acts 28:7-10 is so interesting because Paul's shipwrecked on this island. Here, people don't know anything about Jesus Christ, and I don't know if they knew anything about God. But you know what? They knew something about courtesy and kindness and consideration. Sometimes we act like the pagans. They don't know anything. In fact, the pagans show more character sometimes than people who are supposed to be God's people do. Okay, well, my time is up. But anyway, we've focused on this basic character trait. Maybe it'd be good to bring it to our attention and might be of some help in our efforts to be what God wants us to be and in the training of our children.